Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The penultimate day, penultimate Sunday of the church year, we hear Jesus talking about the close of the age, or what will the signs be when the end is near. This has been a running joke in Christianity about that crazy person who stands on the corner shouting that the end is near, and they may walk up and down with a, I know in cartoons they used to put a sandwich board on him and he'd walk up and down with a bell and the end is near and all of this stuff. And yet we're still here, right? That's sort of the running joke against Christians, is that we talk as if end is imminent and yet here we are. Well, you could kind of see the humor in it from a different point of view. However, we also see the sadness in those who chase after every proposed ending, those who feel as if they can decipher all of the clues within Scripture to point to a specific date when the end will come. Jesus gives us probably the best view of the end that you can possibly have. When his disciples ask him, when the end will be. And the end to the disciples could be the end of the Roman rule. It could have been the end of the current king or emperor sitting on the throne. Each of them sort of had their own end in mind. So Jesus paints them a picture of how they should approach life, keeping the end in mind. And that's sort of how we operate. Right? We don't look for a specific date. We don't look for a specific time. We don't try and decipher prophecies and all of that to point to a specific ending by a specific group. We live the life that God has called us to live with the end in mind, knowing that it could be any time. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be 100 years from now, who knows? But we know that Jesus' return will signal the end of all things. But we don't know when that is, so we live our lives with the end in mind. And so Jesus gives his disciples and us a great image of how to see the world that we live in as pointing to the end. So they ask him, when will these be, and what are the signs when all of these things are about to be accomplished? And Jesus says, first, see that no one leads you astray. There's going to be a lot of people who come saying they're me, he says. They're going to say they're me returned. They're going to pretend that they are me, and they're going to pull people out to follow them. And we've seen this. We've seen it in all sorts of cults and experiences where people think that this person is Jesus returned. And it doesn't ever end up well for them. And not just somebody's pretending that they're Jesus, but there are all sorts of people who have said that they are some kind of savior. They are here to save you from whatever it is that's troubling you. There are all sorts of saviors that call our names. And they could be politicians, they could be celebrities, they could be philosophers, doctors, all sorts of people who feel as though they have some sort of God power and can save you from whatever it is that you're suffering from. Jesus says, don't be deceived. Don't go out and follow after them. And I'm always thinking to myself, yeah, when Jesus returns, we're going to know it. I'm not going to miss it. Everybody will know it. Whether you believe in him or not, when Jesus returns, you won't miss it. So if you think some guy on the television is pretending to be Jesus, don't follow after him. And Jesus says, don't let him lead you astray. There's going to be a lot of them. And so there had been, from the time that Jesus was there all the way through up until today, there have been countless people. Then he says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. In other words, there have been wars since the beginning. And as people increased on the earth, the wars increased. They gained in ferocity with developments of technology and things. There have always been wars. And yes, In the midst of war, a lot of people think that this is probably the war to end all wars. This is the end. This is how we're going to, you know, eliminate ourselves. We're just going to blow everything up. And Jesus says, don't be alarmed. Now, he's not saying don't ignore or pretend that they're not there. He's not saying don't deny this stuff. He says just don't be surprised when it happens. Because people have been fighting with one another since the beginning. That's the problem with sin. There have always been wars. And there will always be wars until Jesus returns. And this is living with the end in mind. We see these things going on around us, and it doesn't surprise us. It saddens us, yes. We're, especially if our sons and daughters or grandchildren are off and fighting those wars, we are sad. And we wish they wouldn't happen, and we pray for peace on earth and all of these things, and we continue to do that. But we also know people are people. Sinful as they are, they will fight with one another. And Jesus separates wars with rumors of wars. Rumors of wars being those sort of hints that something else is coming. There's always something else on the horizon. With the people in this world that we have, there's always another dictator, there's always another power, there's always another struggle that's about to break out. And again, don't be alarmed when it happens. Don't be surprised. Don't be taken aback as if you thought people were all nice and good and wouldn't fight with one another. They're going to. And Jesus is pretty clear about this. That's why I think Jesus' account here of what happens in the end is probably the best for us to follow, because he's not predicting anything specific. He's not saying this nation will fight against this nation and then you can count the days. He's not saying that. He's saying people are going to fight. And they're going to keep fighting until I come back. So rumors of wars and wars. He says, don't be surprised and know that the end is not yet. So when these wars are going on, know that the end isn't yet. These wars aren't going to be the end of us. These wars aren't going to be the end of the world. That comes when Jesus returns, and you won't miss it. So don't be surprised. And know that the end is not yet. And we still get the opportunity to share the gospel because the end isn't yet. We don't have to stop doing what we're doing. We don't have to stop living how we're living. We don't have to stop sharing the gifts that we've been given because the end isn't yet. We don't have to stockpile and hide in bunkers and all of these things because the end is not yet. And those things probably aren't going to help you in the end anyway once Jesus returns. He goes on to say, nation will rise against nation. And this, he's not necessarily talking about war in this sense. He's already talked about war and fighting. Now nation will rise against nation in competition and in struggle and in dominance. And yes, this may involve conflict, but it's more than that. It's one nation trying to dominate another, or one nation trying to dominate the world. And you'll see this, and we have seen this throughout history. And we will continue to see it, where nations will try to dominate other nations. Nations will try to control one another. Nations will try to exert power and influence and make other nations do what they want them to do. This is the way that human beings interact with one another. And then he says kingdom against kingdom. So what's the difference? Nation against nation, Jesus is saying that there's going to be groups of people fighting with one another and struggling with one another, and kingdoms, again, powers and control and exerting influence and trying to dominate. This is the way it's going to look. And kingdoms sometimes are even within nations. There's different groups of people that they will try and pit against one another. We see that, and we have seen that. Struggles of power in human institutions, in politics and academia and all of these things where they're trying to dominate and trying to push and trying to show their power and control over others. Jesus is saying this is the way that it's going to be. This is the way that humans are going to exist with one another. He's being very honest. He's not trying to paint a flowery picture that the world's going to be somehow buttercups and roses and we're all going to hold hands and get along. It's not going to be that way, he says. It's going to be tough. But, he says, the gospel is going to need to be proclaimed. So while it's not the end, we still have work to do. We still have a job to proclaim the gospel to all nations in hopes that when Jesus returns, his kingdom will be great. He says there's going to be even earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. He says, in other words, humans against nature. It's going to be a rough go of it. He says earthquakes are going to be all over the place. And we, of course, have seen this throughout history. Earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and volcanoes and all of these things where nature just sort of rips itself apart. Remember that under the curse of sin, the very creation cries out. The earth itself is hurting. And this is the way the earth reacts. And earthquakes and volcanoes. And again, it's not the end, he says. It's just the beginning. This is just what we're seeing. There will be famines, both human-caused and natural famines. There's always going to be this. And he's not painting a pretty picture, but he's opening the disciples' eyes to see that this is the way it is. Because of sin in the world, this is the way the world looks. And I'm not trying to bring us all down on a beautiful Sunday morning. I'm just saying we open our eyes and see, yeah, this is the way it is. Doesn't surprise me. Gives me something to pray for. An end to all of these things, an end to all of these struggles. But also the confidence, the blessing to know that Jesus himself said, this is not the end yet. We still have time with one another. We still have an opportunity to share the gospel. And now he turns his attention directly to his disciples, which is really interesting here because he turns to his disciples, those who follow him directly, and he says, you think it's going to be rough for those out there? It's going to be rough for you. He says, they're going to pull you in, and they're going to put you before councils and synagogues. You're going to stand there and have to give an account for the hope that you have. What an opportunity. Very frightening. But an opportunity nonetheless. They're going to challenge the very basics of Christianity, of those who follow Jesus, and they're going to ask, why do you believe what you believe? And again, we've seen this. From the time Jesus ascended into heaven and the Holy Spirit came, they've been doing that to the disciples since the beginning of that time. They're going to keep doing it. But the beauty is you don't do it alone. And you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have the Bible memorized. You don't have to have checked the checklist once again. He says the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. He's going to give you the words to say. When the governors, when the kings, when the emperors, when anybody in power and authority challenges your faith, he says, the Holy Spirit's going to be there. It's going to give you the words. It's going to give you what to say at that moment, for that time, the Holy Spirit will be with you. You don't have to be afraid. And yes, once again, just a quick journey through history shows that people who have followed Jesus have faced all sorts of authorities and challenges. Some have lost their lives. Some have lost their heads. Luther is once quoted as saying, it's one of my favorite Luther quotes. He says, don't be afraid of the one who can remove your head, because I know the one who can put it back on. I don't know if he actually said that, but it sounds like a Luther thing to say. To understand that as Christians, as those forgiven, yes, we are surrounded oftentimes by fear and threats and violence and all of the stuff that we don't understand. We don't know why people do what they do except to say that we're all sinful and live in a sinful world. But we have hope. It's why at the end of the church year like this, we start talking more about that hope that is to come. That as we are placed in front of all of these challenges, that the hope is, and the hope we have, is that it is not the end. That the Holy Spirit is with us, that the gospel will be proclaimed to all nations. It will happen by God's power, by His Holy Spirit, and through each of us. Now, what Jesus isn't saying is that every single person is going to be dragged in front of authorities. That's not what He's saying. But He is saying, as Scripture says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. Be ready to tell people your story. Why do you have the hope you have? How does the Holy Spirit work in you? And tell your story. Don't try and tell other people's story, and don't try and interpret all of the little ins and outs of secret codes in Scripture. Don't do that. Tell the story of Jesus in you. Tell the story of Jesus in your life. Tell the story of how the Holy Spirit worked through you. Because He works through every single one of us. Now, reading from Hebrews today gives us a great way to approach things. Hebrews 10, verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. So at the penultimate Sunday, the end of the end, let us hold fast the hope that we have. Because it's not up to us, it's up to the one who died and rose again. It's not up to us, it's up to the one who sent the Holy Spirit. So we hold fast that hope because it all depends on Jesus, not on us. So we have one more week to go. The last Sunday of the church year next week. And we approach that Sunday the same way we approach every Sunday, with hope and joy, rejoicing and forgiveness, knowing that Jesus is the one who blesses each one of us. He's the one who did it all for us. And He's the one who will come again, and you won't miss it. Amen. Now the peace that is ours in Christ, guard our hearts and minds, always in the true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.